The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the social studio.
Welcome to another bumper edition of the Radio Today programme. In a minute, I'll be reporting from New Broadcasting House, where Sarah Cox and her producer Gary Bones are working on the latest sounds of the 80s for Radio 2 and The Red Button. What happens when TV and radio people collaborate in our multi-platform world? Are there inevitable compromises? It's interesting stuff. Also this week, a report from the London Digital Radio event. But first, a quick word, if you'll forgive me, about this week's biggest radio story, the announcement by the Radio Academy that we've seen the last of the former Sony Radio Awards and the last radio festival, at least in their current forms. The Academy's HQ staff, Mandy, Nella, Caroline and Risa, are all being made redundant. And although there's a promise from the current chairman, Ben Cooper, that a new event will be developed, details are sketchy to say the least. Now, as a former CEO of the Academy, I think it's best if I keep most of my thoughts to myself, except to wish the staff well and recommend them to any potential employers who might be listening to this. What I will say, though, is that the press release did send out a rather negative message about our industry, which seemed only a few weeks ago in Salford to have rediscovered some of its old confidence, and I think that's a shame. Also, last time I checked, the Radio Academy is a member organisation, so I hope the industry cheeses who've made this announcement hold some elections and get some new trustees on board who represent the broad range of radio. Presenters, producers, lecturers, yes, even podcasters, not just managers. Anyway, back to business, and an event at Global Radio this week celebrating the success of DAB Digital Radio in London. The Mayor, Boris Johnson, was on hand straight after his LBC show. Then there was a good turnout from commercial stations in the capital, although I thought BBC representation was a bit light. But as the coffee was slurped and croissants scoffed, I had a word with some of the people in attendance, starting with the Minister of State for the Digital Industries, Ed Vasey.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix.
Ed Vasey, it's always good to have a government minister talking about radio. What brings you here?
Well, today is a celebration, really, of the impact digital radio is having in London, with more than half of London's homes now having a digital radio, with digital radio listening now being higher than analogue radio listening in London. And I think most impressive of all, London having more digital radio stations than any other city in the world, 65.
Is it something that the government takes seriously, the expanding of digital radio?
Yeah, we're taking it very seriously. We're helping to fund the rollout of local digital radio coverage. We're doing that in partnership with the BBC and commercial radio. We're putting momentum behind encouraging people to convert their cars to digital, with a notice now going out on every envelope that you get reminding you to renew your tax disc. So we're promoting digital radio where we can. We've launched a second national digital radio multiplex that'll be launching early next year as well. So in every single way that we can encourage digital radio, we're trying to help.
Is this only about listener choice, or is it about commercial growth? Do you see there being actual economic values in the growth of digital radio, in fact radio as a whole?
I think there is an economic opportunity here. That you've got a range of stations in this room, from Share Radio promoting personal finance to Punjabi Radio broadcasting for the Punjabi community in London. So it is about choice, but all of those radio stations have the potential as well to make revenue. And I think importantly, where the BBC dominates radio, it also provides, I think, some healthy competition by providing many more slots for radio stations.
Thank you, Ed Vasey. Ford Ennals, you promote digital radio for the whole of the UK. You've got all the opinion formers in the room. You must be very pleased with this turnout.
We're very excited. We're here to celebrate London Radio. London Radio's never been in better health. We're launching four new stations for London today. Over 60% of people in London are now listening on a digital platform every week. So there's a wonderful buzz here, great momentum and good support.
We've met several times to have this interview. I've never seen you looking quite so cheerful. I think you feel that you're on the brink of actually succeeding.
Well, it's, you know, Trevor, you know, it's been a 4 or 5 years, probably longer than that. It's been a long road. And I think there's always been different views in the radio industry about the future of radio. I think, you know, I'm touching wood here, I think that we finally got everyone aligned, whether it be the big groups, whether it be the BBC, indeed the small groups. And they're all represented in this room. We have great support from government. I mean, Ed Vasey, I think, has been a fantastic champion for digital radio. And I think we've got a clear future. So, yeah, no, I am very optimistic. optimistic and looking forward to these new station launches.
Good luck, Ford.
Thank you.
So, Paul Keenan from Bauer, is this the tipping point for digital radio, do you think?
Oh, I think we've gone beyond that, Trevor. I think, you know, nearly 60% of our listening in London's on digital platforms. We see it as a growing, important part of our business. It's offering consumers, you know, listeners, even more choice. And it's giving us, the industry, the opportunity to increase the amount of variety. We were very pleased to bring Absolute Radio into our fold, a pioneer in digital.
I was going to ask you about that. Have you learned some new stuff about digital from working with the guys at Absolute?
Yeah, I think that they've been pioneering around digital. They've launched an in-stream product, which I think commercial partners like. They've learned about programming in a completely digital market with content going across channels in a seamless way for consumers, which I think has been very successful. And the way in which they've approached on-demand listening on digital devices and their thinking around that is really encouraging and energizing as well.
Just finally, do you think the agencies, do you think your commercial business partners get it? Is this more than just about listener choice? Are there more commercial ideas around because of digital?
I think they get it entirely. I think they're seeing a commercial radio industry in rude health. They're seeing listening is strong. They're seeing new product launches. They're seeing a lot of simplification, if you like. We're organizing our business around four essential core brands. Our place business, which is local, which is really important to us. Absolute, Kiss and Magic. And digital's enabled us to take Kiss National, and we're taking Magic National from January the 5th, which is really exciting. And we're launching new product with digital platforms. So Kisstory and Kiss Fresh will be launching in London as well. So it's all good news.
Thank you, Paul.
Sajit Gooman from Punjab Radio. Punjab Radio has been established for 14 years and on London DAB for the last 11 years. Digital radio is very important, especially for the ethnic minority, because there are no FM or medium wave frequencies available in London. So the second choice is digital radio. As I said on the stage earlier, if it wasn't for the digital radio, Punjab Radio wouldn't have been in existence. Considering that 20% of the London multiplexes are now occupied by ethnic media stations. You've got IBC, you've got Polish Radio, Voice of Russia. They wouldn't be around.
How easy has it been to persuade your community that what they need is a digital radio? Are they not obsessed, as we all are, with the internet, with our tablets, with our smartphones?
What you've got to remember is we still got the first and the second and the third generation of Asians from India and Pakistan, Bangladesh. They are not familiar with broadband. They're not familiar with the internet. What they want is something they can switch on and it's there. And the whole idea why there are 12 Asian radio stations on London DAB, because it's broadened the choice, that's what they want to hear.
I'm Matt Jamison and I run Amazing Radio, and there's a lot of established brands on that slide of 65 stations, and I think where Amazing can fit in is somewhere between XFM and 6 Music at the forefront of new and emerging music and musicians.
And if you didn't have DAB, you wouldn't be on a broadcast platform at all?
No. Well, not an old broadcast platform like FM or medium wave, but we have invested in our app and we've invested in our online service, and there'll be more on that in the new year in 2015 as we look to really strike London with our mission and our goal. But digital radio obviously is a key element to what we do. We're now focused very much on our London audience, that being the place we are on DAB, and look forward to working with DAB in the years to come.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, NewsBoss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
So number 12 from November 84, written by Benny and Bjorn from ABBA. with lyrics by Tim Rice and for the musical Chess. Okay, and then Hester, will you take out after Chess? Which tells a story, have, I mean, if you don't know, then two chess players, one Russian and one Bangkok, uses chess rivalry as a metaphor for the Cold War. Take all of that out. And we'll finish on Chess.
Thanks for downloading the Radio Today weekly podcast. I'm Trevor Dan. You find me in a television gallery. Yes, I'm sorry, but I am here to talk about radio. Gary Bones is here from Radio 2. We're making a radio show here, and yet we're in a TV gallery. Explain.
Well, the programme you're referring to is Sounds of the 80s, and of course, what better era, really, should we be cross-platforming radio programmes to than Sounds of the 80s? Because MTV began at the start of the 80s, obviously, so it's an obvious one to do. And then when we put the programme together in Radio 2, it was very much thought of as there should be an extension to the brand of Sounds of the 80s, and that extension is taking it into, you know, visualisation as well. We only do once a month at the moment. We do only 1 hour of the programme as videos as well, and it's on the red button and it's on the BBC iPlayer for up to 30 days.
Now, in my day, if I may say so, when you were making a radio show, as soon as television got involved, you lost control of it completely. They just said, well, we know what we're doing, you don't understand pictures. My impression from watching this working is that it's still a radio show and you're still the producer.
I am still the producer, but I work with a very talented director called Guy Oldfield, who actually brings the radio show to life in pictures. It's a very simple format, basically. And I mean, many TV formats began on the radio, as you know, simple discussion programmes or whatever. This is just really an extension of what I suppose you could technically call a music magazine programme, really. So Guy does the creative bit of getting the camera shots and making it look good. And myself and presenter Sarah Cox put together the video, the script, book the guests and so on. And basically, I work closely with Sarah on keeping an eye that Sarah isn't just delivering a TV show to autocue, but is delivering a radio show to the television cameras in the way that she would sound conversational, friendly and warm on Radio 2 on a Saturday night.
Because telly likes the autocue and it likes the fixed points and it likes and cue and all that kind of stuff. Television, radio rather, is much calmer, isn't it, than that? And we kind of make it up as we go along in radio.
Radio is a very intimate medium, as you know. It's a friend, especially at night time. We have a lot of regular listeners and they treat the show as friends and they're of that era and they love the music of that era. When we started doing this, we stripped it way back. We're currently in the one show studio, so it's all quite high tech and the guys, the crew are fantastic. But when we began it, we did it in a Radio 1 studio because I wanted it to look like a radio program on the telly at the same time. That didn't quite work because the studio was very tight. It had all the glitzy lights and everything. But for a television show, it wasn't quite right. But what we've managed to achieve by stripping back the one-show studio, for those of you who've watched the program, it's a fairly bare set, except when it comes to the guests, there's a couple of seats and it's just Sarah walking around. It's still, hopefully, conveying an intimacy on television in the way that many television programmes don't.
How do you get the sound right? Because TV sound guys and radio sound guys are historically daggers drawn, aren't they?
Funny enough, just, half an hour ago, we had this very conversation with Matthew, is it? Yeah. Matthew and I had this very conversation because I haven't worked with Matthew before. And I was saying that one of the issues that I felt in the last edition, and Matthew wasn't doing the sound balance on that, was that it sounded a bit like TV sound. It is always going to be a compromise, and Matthew's going to work really hard today, not compromising his own art on the side of television, but to try and achieve what I've suggested I would like the radio programme to sound like. Obviously, in post-production, we can tweak the sound as well. We can put the lovely Radio 2 warm sound and compression, top and bottom, and all of that in. But yes, that is yet another challenge. And, you know, as I say, just literally had a conversation with Matthew about that a short time ago.
And what about the performance of the presenter, of Sarah? Maybe I'll grab a word with her later. Mm-hmm. But what about her as a DJ compared with her TV persona? Do you find that as soon as the cameras are rolling, her personality, her delivery changes a bit?
Sarah's been fantastic because she always says to me, and you'll see this when you're watching, was that all right, Gary? Did that sound right for the radio? So I'm listening with a radio ear. I'm also watching the monitor because, you know, she feels when the last time when she was, I told her to go off piste, off the autocue, just do it as a radio show. She was quite conscious of walking and moving. So, you know, it's us working together and me keeping an eye on the monitor that she doesn't, and Guy as well, who's got a good eye for that. you know, saying that it works for telly. But also, you know, to be conversation, you do have to be slightly animated in a different way than you would sitting, addressing it and reading an autocue on a camera.
Gary Bones, producer of Sounds of the 80s, thank you very much. I'm going to move over here to this other corner where I'm going to find the man who's very post. His job is vindicated by this because you're head of multi-platform, Brett Spencer.
I am.
And this wasn't your idea, was it? Or was it? Are you going to claim some credit for this?
I think we'll all share the credit. But one of the things that we wanted to do with Sound of the 80s was we wanted to build it into a multi-platform brand, if you like, when we started the show. So when it came on air a year ago as a radio show, we always intended to do this. We thought we'd give it a few months to bed in as a radio show before we started to do this across the multi-platform space. So now it lives across the Red Button and across iPlayer. We're extending that brand even further with the CD coming out next month, and we'll continue to develop this to build it out further.
Your chums at Radio 1 always talk about listen, watch and share. Here you are, we can listen to this, we can watch it, we can share it. Is this actually the future of radio? I mean, are we going to see a lot more of this over the next decade or so?
I think one of the interesting things about Sarah doing this is that she's bringing with her some of her Radio 1 audience over to Radio 2, who naturally expect more than just a linear radio show. I think what's interesting about this from our point of view is that it lives full-time as a TV show, even if it's only on once a month on TV, because when we're publishing it to the iPlayer, it's there for 30 days and is replaced by another one. What Radio 1 are doing, I think, is concentrating more on short-form content, try and get people to spend a bit more time with their brand. And what we're looking to do is to build things from within Radio 2 that will encourage people to sample what Radio 2 does on different platforms. And this is a prime example of that, because you can consume this now in so many different ways.
I'm just wondering whether in the future the DJ as a person is going to have to be telegenic, because they're going to have to be on the telly as well.
I'm not sure it's about being telegenic. It's about being able to present across both mediums at the same time. And I'm sure when you talk to Sarah, she'll talk about, you know, what she had to think about in terms of the fact that she's on both radio and TV together. And it's quite hard. And it's something that some presenters take to and some presenters don't. But, you know, working with Sarah in the same way as that we have with Lauren at Six Music, you've got presenters there who are natural television presenters and can combine those two roles.
So what might you do next? What's the next project after Sounds of the 80s?
I think the reason that this has worked is because we were involved in this from the point of commission, and we talked about what it was going to be as a brand and where, how it was going to live on multi-platform before we started the show, as opposed to what happened several years ago, which was a programme would be commissioned and a couple of weeks beforehand people would start thinking about, well, what can we do on the website for it? And I think that what's happening now, particularly at Radio 2 and Six Music, is we're talking about these things from the point of commission. So, you know, I was in commissioning rounds last week where we're already thinking about what upcoming radio shows for 2015 and 2016 could be across the multi-platform space.
That's an interesting thing, just from the independent production point of view. When people are pitching shows to you, there's been that little space at the bottom of the form, hasn't there, for years that says multi-platform ideas. And now it seems as though that's absolutely core to any offer that independent producers are going to make to you.
I think so, because radio has to be more than a linear radio show. As you said in your question before, is all radio going to be television? Well, it won't be, but radio has to be more than just the audio programme in many instances to bring in people who are listening across many different platforms.
You, Sarah?
That was Billy Joel with Uptown Girl on Sounds of the 80s. Very lovely. So then, I want you to imagine if you take one yacht, four boys from Brum in snazzy suits and a jaunt across the Caribbean Sea. What do you get? What you get is a video for a song that sums up the hedonistic decadence of 80s excess, courtesy, of course, of Duran Duran and their 82 hit, Rio.
That's good. Do you have any hand movements, Gary?
Yeah, I'm just trying to sound like I'm on the radio. It's so annoying.
Hands are fine.
Trapped.
I thought that was
nice. Between two mediums.
That was Brett Spencer, head of multi-platform for lots of things, and that was the gallery. And now I'm up in the studio, and here's Sarah Cox. Sarah, how are you?
Hi, Trevor. I'm good, thanks. Are you well?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Is this a radio show or is it a telly show? What does it feel like for you as the presenter?
You know what? It's a real, it's a new skill set that I've had to learn, because it's both, and it's the first time, really, that that have had to do this. It's quite a new thing with it being multi-platform. So it's quite strange. I've got four cameras around me, all the camera guys, got the floor manager, got lighting, got my earpiece in, but you've still got to keep the same sort of intimacy that you have when it's just yourself in control of all the buttons sitting in front of a microphone on the radio. So it is interesting. And what I generally tend to do is if you watch the Sounds of the 80s on the red button, you'll see my eyes flicker a little bit because I'm trying to just not stare down the barrel of a camera and talk differently. Because I'm telling you, sit up straighter, you look down the camera, you're a bit more sort of energised, whereas obviously on the radio, you're just really chilled and relaxed, which is what I love about radio. So I guess I'm learning it. I found it tricky at first, to be honest, and now I get through it by just relaxing and just pretending that the cameras aren't there and that I am just chatting on the radio without being, you know, in jogging bottoms and having a sip of a cup of tea and twiddling my hair like I'm normally doing on the radio and doodling.
Because that's one of the big things about telly is it's so, as you said, distracting, and you've got auto cue and you've got to prepare your links. And I've just watched you do the same link two or three times. It's a skill to be able to recreate what you just did in the last link.
Yeah, it takes a lot of concentration to do this, because I don't want to say radio takes no concentration, but what I love about it is that you are just sitting there. And also, as a control freak, I love the fact that I press the buttons, I start the records, you know, and I'm in control of everything. So to hand that over is always a bit of a struggle. My main concern always with this is that I don't want somebody listening to the radio to feel like they're listening to someone watching telly in the room next door. That I always want it. The radio to me is the priority for how it sounds. It's got to sound like it's the radio still. And obviously it's got to look good on the telly, which I think it does. And to be fair, it's kind of more about the videos for the telly bit as well. I just pop up with a bit of info.
I must let you go. You've got to interview Holly.
We've got Holly Johnson. It's quite nice, actually. It's come full circle. The first track we played was Two Tribes and Frankie Goes to Hollywood. 30th anniversary of Welcome to the Pleasure Dome. So at last we've got Holly on the show. And we know that he's listened because he's been tweeting the show from the start. So I'm a big fan. So yeah, we're going to chat to Holly.
Thank you, Sarah.
Lovely. Thanks, Trevor.
Guy Oldfield, you're directing this TV show, radio show, both. How do you see it?
How do I see it? I see it as a TV show that works for the radio, but I absolutely guarantee that we get a radio show out of it. So all the accommodations that have to be made for both sides, for Sarah, for the radio audience, we work to make both sides work.
How easy is it for you, coming from telly, to work with colleagues from radio? I mean, in the past there have been issues, I think, between radio people and TV people in their silos. Do you think that's kind of fading away a bit now?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely fading, bearing in mind so many radio producers are obligated to work in a multi-platform environment. So they're much more used to the paraphernalia of TV. When I first started, it was a bit tricky. One thing we do have, of course, is we have presenters who are very used to both formats. So there's a rhythm to both formats. There's a rhythm to both mediums. And I think everybody gets it eventually. You do have to finesse it a little bit.
Final question. Do you find yourself listening to the radio and thinking, ooh, I could think of a TV treatment for that?
All the time.
Can you give me an example?
Particularly with Radio 2, any of the heritage shows that we can mine the archive for video, but also shows that have live music in. Radio 2 has really, really good numbers on Red Button, and we really need to capitalise on having so much live music. So every time that happens in the building, I'm always thinking, there's the opportunity.
I must let you go. Run VT. Thank you, Guy Oldfield. Thank you, Brett Spencer, for having radio today here at New Broadcasting House. If you want to watch the show that we've been talking about with Holly Johnson, it's on the iPlayer right now. This is the Radio Today programme. Let's get some news now with Roy Martin.
Thank you, Trevor. Radio Player is extending to Ireland in December. All 43 stations in the Republic will come together in one mobile app in a new deal with RTÉ and the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland. Smooth is expanding with two new radio stations. Smooth Christmas will commence on November the 15th, taking over the D1 slot from Smooth Radio, and then Smooth Extra will start on December the 27th with a broader range of music than currently played on Smooth Radio, which will continue on AM, FM and local digital radio. And finally, Bauer has created new logos for all of its PlayStations, meaning, and we've just counted, 40 new logos will be joining the radio industry in one day, possibly the biggest ever rebrand in one go. See examples of the new logo, which has received mixed reaction at best, on radiotoday.co.uk. That's the very latest. I'm Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Radio
Moments. The now familiar issue of immigration was also in the news this week in 1976 when any questions on Radio 4 was disrupted.
There's a lot of noise going on outside. There's a lot of noise going on inside. What I would like to just say is this. I may have said it before on this programme, but you know, this programme is listened to a lot more by a lot more people than are in this hall. But that doesn't mean to say that the people in this hall aren't a very good representative of the listeners.
Robin!
Now, that may be so. That may well be so, sir. But no, just hold on. Now, hold on. Hold on. Could I just say this? What up?
David Jacobs chairing Any Questions from Basingstoke with Enoch Powell on the panel this week, 38 years ago. Happy 47th birthday this week to BBC Local Radio. It began in Leicester.
I believe that local radio is catching on very fast in Leicester. I believe that it's a wonderful project, and already we can see the women in Leicester beginning to look in the shop windows and wonder if they're going to have VHF and whether they can get up in the morning and listen to what's going on in Leicester and begin to feel proud of the city and its achievements.
How many hours a day will it be on the air, Mr. Ennals?
We shall be on the air about 17 or 18 hours a day, and about 4 hours of the 17 will be local output. Now, these aren't 4 hours together in one block. Mainly, they will be in the early morning, at lunchtime, and in the early evening.
4 hours a day, for, shall we say, a comparatively small station like yourself, is quite a lot. Where are you going to get the material from?
How can you fill 4 hours a day? Michael Murray and his 16 staff launched the BBC Local Radio Network in Leicester this week in 1967. And this week in 1980, it eventually came to Lincolnshire.
10 minutes to seven on Tuesday, the 11th of November, 1980. And for the first time, there's a warm welcome to the programmes of BBC Radio Lincolnshire.
And from local radio to national radio this week in 1978, the launch of BBC Wales with Anita Morgan. This week in 83, there were new plans for Radio 4. It was to be turned into an all-news and current affairs network.
When we're taking this new style Radio 4, as envisaged in your paper, and you talk about more flexibility, more internationalist in its outlook, in order to achieve that, does it mean that some of the old familiar programmes will have to go? For instance, we've even heard it said that The Archers might be moved onto Radio 5. Is there any evidence that listeners themselves want that kind of change?
No, but on the other hand, the way in which decisions are taken as to what goes on to a particular service are really to do with the forces of the marketplace, which are indeed determined by listeners' choices.
Richard Francis, then the BBC's MD of radio. Those proposed changes, which never came to be, were the catalyst for the setting up of the Voice of the Listener organisation by Jocelyn Hay.
Whether you're talking about cars or baked beans or whatever, they are products. And the big commercial companies tend to look at broadcast programmes as products too. We don't.
And I'm not sure what Jocelyn would have made of this Chris Moyle show broadcast 10 years ago this week when he chatted to Elton John.
5:30?
Yeah.
Man, was that for us?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. I haven't been to the BBC for so long, I didn't know this was... I nearly went to the other one.
Yeah, well, it's up to A now.
I saw Tony Blackburn with a walking stick in a smoking place.
I'll tell you, you've got the...
On the live air.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Oh, no.
Are we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, really?
I apologise to boys and girls.
Sorry about that.
It's Elton John, I don't get
Elton and Chris this week in 2004. More controversy hit the BBC this week 2 years ago. It was the interview that finally felled a director general.
The BBC has, hardly need to tell you this, a unique position in this country. It has unique privileges, and it earns those on the basis of the trust that the people of this country have in the BBC. That trust has been severely damaged, possibly destroyed, hasn't it?
Well, I don't believe it's been destroyed. The BBC has had crises of trust before. This is a bad crisis of trust, I admit it. But what you have to do is show your audiences that their trust in you is ready to restore. And the way you do that is you're open and clear about finding out what's gone wrong.
Humphreys and Entwistle on the Today programme this week 2 years ago. And that interview coincided with anniversary celebrations for the BBC. The British Broadcasting Company launched this week 92 years ago as telecoms companies joined together to form a single company.
This is 2LO, the London station of the British Broadcasting Company calling. 2LO calling.
That famous announcement first heard on air this week in 1922, alongside the first news bulletin with Arthur Burroughs.
This is London calling.
And that first news bulletin, and no doubt those immortal words, "I'm sorry, I can't bring you that report," first heard on this day 92 years ago with Arthur Burroughs. He wrote later, "I'm prepared to assert there is no more exacting test of physical fitness and nervous condition than the reading of a news bulletin night after night." And that first bulletin involved a report of a rowdy meeting involving Winston Churchill, a train robbery, the sale of a Shakespearean folio, fog in London, and the latest billiard scores.
We are not going to stop broadcasting. Broadcasting has come to stay.
The new BBC aimed for the best broadcasting to the widest possible number of homes. There was confidence too from Capital Radio this week in 82, when its finance director said it would seek a stock market quotation in the next 18 months. Just as soon as the impact of the new Breakfast TV and Channel 4 was known. 1941 now, and the first episode of Vera Lynn's Wartime Forces Request Show, Sincerely Yours.
And care will go to our men in uniform from the girls at home. A personal letter in words and music, and the signature is Sincerely Yours, Vera Lynn. With Fred Hartley and his music, presented by Howard Thomas.
So with the first BBC shipping forecast 92 years ago.
Even for people who aren't that interested in the weather, it's something very elemental.
The Radio 1 chart extending to a top 40 this week 36 years ago.
Radio 1, the bottom 20 between 5 and 6, and between 6 and 7, the top 20.
And the first car radio going on display at the Motor Show 91 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. Don't forget you can keep up with all the radio news and gossip at radiotoday.co.uk. Remember our US companion podcast, The Radio Stuff with Larry Gifford. Oh, and there's another episode of Serial soon. Best radio for ages. Have a listen to that if you can. I'm Trevor Dan, and next week I'll bring you the promised interview with TalkSport's Adrian Durham and a report from the Salford Nations and Regions Conference, where the BBC can expect a rough ride from producers based outside London. This has been a TDC production. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.